Morning, good morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's do that one more time. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. We're continuing our study in the book of Ruth, and hopefully you're following her story as we're going to see a little bit more of her story unfold every week as we're going to see Ruth's story unfold every week. The book of Ruth. Everyone say Ruth. All the fellas say Bo. Take a deep breath in, fellas, and say, Bo. Bo. Ladies, say, Ruth. Very good. Let's pray for us, Lord. We just pray you would help us understand this story and help us apply it to our life. We thank you so much for this story in the Bible and pray you challenge us in our relationships. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. One day I was driving to Azusa Pacific up the 15 freeway, and I was in the left lane, the speed lane, to pass all the slower cars. Not that we were going fast, we were passing the slow cars and the trucks. And I was coming down this hill, and there was a dog on the opposite side of the freeway running across the freeway. And so I thought to myself, Snoop Dogg ain't gonna make it, he's gonna get hit somewhere in here. And he ran across the other side of the freeway, came across the median, and then he came onto my side of the freeway and started to run across the freeway. We knew cars were going, I think the speed limit's 70, so cars are probably going about 90. And there was a young lady driving a little Fiero, and she was about, 300 yards ahead of me, and, the steering wheel was up by her, forehead. And the dog ran right in front of the Fiero, and she slammed on the brakes, smoke came from her tires, and she literally ran over the dog and killed the dog. Yes, true story. And so I drove by the dog and looked down and, thought to myself, I knew he wasn't going to make it. And then when I got up to the girl, she was in the car crying. Obviously, she just killed this dog, and it was pretty traumatic for her. And the reason that girl hit the dog is because she was only looking at what was right in front of her. She didn't see the whole picture like I did because I was up on the hill and got to see all the lanes of both sides of the freeway and saw the dog from up on the hill. When we talk about relationships, as we're talking about this relationship between Ruth and Boaz, you have to understand that there's a big picture. It's not just what you feel today. It's not just who you know. It's not just what you want. Relationships have a big picture. One, God created man to be a man. He created woman to be a woman. And we know that when they're born. Even before they're born, we know their gender. But the bigger picture is that whenever a man or woman meet each other and they develop a relationship, that is a microcosm or a smaller version of our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, the gospel is not the four spiritual laws, all have sinned, and the penalty of sin is death, and that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, those words are true, and they do describe gospel truths. And the Bible says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. All that is true, but the gospel is not the facts. The gospel is Jesus. It's a person. And it's the relationship we have with that person. See, in religion, you have all these truths you have to follow, these rules and do's and don'ts. But the gospel in Christianity is a relationship. And when God made a man and he made a woman, and then he designed for the man and the woman to be married, what he was trying to show us is, this is what I want to do with you. I want to be married to you. The Bible calls Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride. He is the groom. And the church is the bride, and we are to be united as one in the context of a relationship. Everyone say relationship. Yes. Say relationship. Yes. God wants to have a relationship with you. And in the context of that relationship, he molds and shapes you and shows you your purpose for life. And through and in the context of that relationship, he fulfills his purpose for your life. So what we're going to look at today is a story about Ruth and Boaz. Now, last week we looked at just Ruth. Now, today, we're going to meet Boaz. Boaz is a tall, dark, and handsome brother, a very wealthy, powerful man, and Ruth is a woman, a damsel in distress. As you see to my left, she's on here gleaning on the ground. We're going to explain what that means in a minute. And she's going to meet this tall, masculine kind of brother. But what we're going to learn in this context is, what do we learn about their relationship? And what do we learn about man and a woman's relationship? But more importantly, what do we learn about our relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, in this story, fellas, you're going to learn how to get your woman. And ladies, when I say this, I want you to react however your gut tells you to react. Okay, you could either cheer or boo. It's one of the two. But fellas, in this story, you're going to learn how to get your woman to bow at your feet. I was going to text message all y'all that, but I didn't know if y'all it would come out real good in a text. So I think I'd just tell you that today, fellas, you're going to learn how to get your woman. How many of y'all have a woman, by the way? Okay, how many of y'all want a woman? You don't have one yet. Okay, very good. We're going to hook you up. This is going to hook you up. Because you're going to learn if you do these principles, your woman will bow at your feet. How many of y'all want your woman to bow at your feet? Let's be honest. This is church. It's Sunday morning. Okay, very good, very good. And ladies, how many of you say you ain't never bowed at nobody's feet? What was I talking about? I'm ready to get out of here. Okay. It's good to create tension and some emotion. I want you to be mad, angry, whatever, because it'll make you pay attention. Don't leave yet, okay? Okay. But trust me. You'll know. It's in the Bible. It's got to be right. So that's right. Bow down, girl. Bow down. Let's read chapter 2, verse 1. If you're a visitor, just stick with us. Visitor, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi. Chapter 2, verse 1. Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. All the fellas, give me a lot of bass and say Bo. One more time, say Bo. Very good. Listen, when we say Bo, we want to punch it. We don't want to say Bo. We want to say Bo. Okay, let's give it to me on three. One, two, three. Bo. That's what I'm talking about. That's right. Get your woman to bow down, or you got to be a man. And Ruth, all the ladies say Ruth. That's right, like a flute. Do it again. Very good. Okay. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. Everyone say glean. Now, Ruth was a Moabite woman. Her husband died. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, was a Jew. Her husband died. They had come back from Moab to Bethlehem. They were poor. They had no man to provide for them. And a woman with no man in that culture was a very helpless creature, because the culture was against the women. And so what she's asking is to go to a field and glean. As you see behind me, she is gleaning. What that means is that if someone is harvesting wheat or whatever, they would cut it down and put it in a basket, and whatever fall to the ground, they couldn't pick it up. They had to leave it there for the poor. And so the farmers would go out there and farm, and they would reap corn or wheat and put it in the basket, pull apples off the tree, put it in the basket, and if an apple fell to the ground, they would have to leave it there. They couldn't pick it up, put it in the basket, and sell it. They had to leave it there. So the poor people would come behind and pick up what was dropped on the ground. That was gleaning. So whenever you glean ideas from someone, you're sitting there listening, waiting for the leftovers. They're not teaching you directly necessarily, but you're overhearing or you're just gleaning ideas. So that's what she's doing. She's on her hands and knees looking for stuff that fell on the ground because she's poor. Now, so this is her situation. She said, let me go find a field where someone will let me do this. Okay? So let's keep reading. Verse 3. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Bo. Fellas, give me a deep Bo. Bo. Very good. Who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to his reapers, the Lord be with you. Basically, what's happening? And they said, what's happening back to you? Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, yo, who's that girl over there? And a servant who was in charge of the reapers says, she's a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the sheaves, after the reapers. So she came and continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest in the house. Number one in your notes. Ladies, Ruth was a hard-working woman. Now, what we want to do is when we look at Ruth, we're going to realize that Ruth is really the church. You could take it as a woman to be romanceable, or you could take it as the church. Every single one of us need to be hardworking. What does that mean? Not only hardworking at your job, but how much do you seek God? How much time and energy do you really spend seeking God? Now, you may spend a lot of time and energy worrying about what God might do. You may be trying to make money, build your house, You're working on some relationship with some guy or some girl, whatever it is, and you're trying to raise your kids, and you're doing all this hard work, but you're not spending hard work, time, discipline, focus, diligent, seeking God. In other words, you may come to church, maybe you'll bring your Bible, maybe you read your Bible during the week, but you'll work hard all week thinking God's going to honor my hard work. But how much are you working hard to seek God? It's a difference. There's a big difference. Because you could spend all your life working hard for other people, trying to build a retirement, trying to do good at your job, but in the end, when God, you stand before God, God's going to say, you know what? You spent an average of 5 minutes a day praying. And that four of those 5 minutes, you were complaining to me. You read your Bible only when you went to church. And when you went to your small group that you hardly ever went to, you just let them read it for you. So he's going to say to you, what was that? What did you expect to get from that? Ruth here was working hard. The Bible says she worked all day and she rested a little while in the house. My challenge to you, my question to you is, how diligent are you seeking God? Be honest with yourself. Compare it to how much you work out or how much you study for your job. How much TV you watch. Think about cutting out 30 minutes of television. That's one. That's the shortest television program is 30 minutes. Take out one. One. I'm turning from a bow to a Ruth. Take out one 30-minute program and say, I'm going to read my Bible and pray for 30 minutes. I promise you, if you did that, the 30 would turn into 45. Because you would feel so blessed. And you know what? All the stress you carry every day, whew. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, yo, girl, how you doing? Listen, my daughter, do not go and glean in any other field or leave this one, but stay close by my young women, the women who work for him. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Number two in your notes, Boaz provided protection. Boaz provided protection. Do you have any idea what God has already done for you? You have any idea? Just say no. You have, and I'm going to say you, I don't have any idea the demonic forces that could kill you, destroy your life, poison your life beyond repair if God allowed them to. And by the way, they want to. They want to destroy your life. And the only reason you are not completely destroyed, the only reason you could sit here today and hear my voice and see me is because of God. The only reason your life is not worse than it could be is because of God. He's blessed you. Boaz said, listen, I know it's dangerous out here gleaning. So here's what I want you to do. See those women over there? They work for me. Stay with them. And see those men over there? I already told them. I already told them to leave you alone before he even met her. Look what it says next. Verse 10, then she fell on her face, bowed to the ground, and said, oh my goodness, you are the bomb. See, I have the original Hebrew Bible. The bomb. Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Fellas, you want to get your woman about your feet? Bow her feet first. Oh, now y'all down. Now you're down with that. See how y'all are? 3 o'clock in the morning, I can wake up. This is true. I can wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, dry cotton mouth. Debbie, wake up. She'll wake up.
What?
My throat is dry. Can you go downstairs and get me some water? You know what she would do? She would say, are you crazy? Yeah, I'm not feeling too good. Can you give me some water? She would get up, walk down the stairs, get me water, bring it back and say, here's your water. But the reason she would, if I really asked her, is because she knows that I would do it for her. Fellas, you want your woman to respect you? Respect her. You out-respect your woman, you out-love your woman. By the way, you can't. You can't. You try to out-love her and out-respect her, she will outdo you. She will bow at your feet. She may not get on her knees and put her face to the floor, but she will respect you big time. But you have to do it first. What Boaz did is he had already done all this stuff before he even met her. How far in advance do you plan to bless your woman? How far in advance do you think to make her day easier? Every time I do something, not every time, but a lot of times when I do stuff for my wife at home, which I do all the time because just as, you know, what I do. But when I do it, I'll remind her. And I'll say to her, this is just what I do. There's a marketing it's not technique, it's a branding technique, and Southwest does it very well as far as brand marketing. And what they do is they define the expectation of the customer. They basically say, we're not giving you first class. And then they over-deliver it. They definitely don't give you first class. But then they do is they constantly remind you that they did it. They always tell you, we delivered on what we said. That makes the happy customer. So I always tell my wife I love her. Then I try to over-deliver. But then when I deliver, I always tell her I did. So she doesn't forget. And so what Boaz did is says, listen, I'm going to do this first. And he comes over and says, I've already done this for you. That's why she bowed, because it was a response to what he had already done for her. And instead of telling a woman, bow, earn the bow. But you earn the bow and you earn the respect by giving the respect. And so that's what Boaz did. So ladies, you like that? Yeah, okay, so bow down then, okay? Bow down then. Point three in your notes, it says, Ruth was a humble and appreciative woman. Y'all need to be humble and appreciative, okay? Give me a man that's worth being humble to. Verse 11, Boaz answered and said, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know. Look at number four in your notes. Ruth was a woman with a good reputation. Ruth says, why are you doing this for me? And he says, everybody knows. The word on the street is that you've done something good. If you are not married, I highly encourage you to do a background check on anybody you date. If some guy comes to you at the club, one, get out the club. He said, yo, girl, what's your name? How you doing? Won't you give me them numbers? Give me them digits now. Hook you up. Say, how about if I do this, young man? Tell me your name and your phone number, and give me the names and phone numbers of your last four girlfriends. And if he gives you the name of four girls, that literally, if he's that dumb to give you four names and phone numbers, if he's that dumb to do that, you need to walk for one. Number two, ask him, what span of time did you date these four women in? And if he tells you it was in the last 4 months, then you got a problem. But what you need to do is do a background check. Why? It'll save you headache. Because if you find out that he dogged out his last three girlfriends, what do you expect you're going to get? The same. The best indicator of future performance is past performance in anything. I had a Bible study at my house. When I first started ministry, I started Bible study at my house with these kids in my neighborhood. I was still playing football. I was just a Christian, and I invited these kids in my house every week, and we did Bible study. It was fantastic. Matter of fact, some of those kids still go to church here, and they're 30-something years old. Their kids are older than they were when I met them. It was a blessing. And these four girls always came together. One was Filipino, one was Chinese, one was Japanese, and the other one was a combination of all the three. This is a true story. And we had like nine nationalities at my house. And these girls came up. They had moose, pow, you know, hair all plastered up to the sky, makeup everywhere, pumps, tight sprayed on pants. And they would come to Bible study like that. And so they would come in, and I was like, man, Larry, Moe, and Curly, okay? And then you have this other girl named Diane. And Diane, and all these girls are sweet girls. Don't get me wrong, but Diane, there was something different about her. And I went and started asking the kids, the guys on the street, about her. And they said, oh, no, she's a good girl. That was her reputation. If I was to ask about you at your job, at your, where you hang out, where you, what you do on Friday night, the people who see you wherever you go Friday night, if I was to ask the people who know you outside of this room, what would they say about you? Whatever it is they would say, Jesus knows that and more. And more. And so Ruth, her reputation had preceded her. Trust me, what can be known will be known. And because her reputation preceded her, and because her reputation was a good one, Boaz decided this is worth the effort. I am going to extend myself because I've heard that this woman is a godly woman. What is God hearing about you? In other words, you're praying to God for a blessing, but what God really knows is that you're living this kind of life over here. You need to get those two things to be the same. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And then she said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Number five in your notes is that Boaz pronounced a blessing on Ruth. Boaz pronounced a blessing on Ruth. I would encourage you, all you guys in here, to pray for your wife. Pray for your girlfriend. Now, married men, lay your hands on your wife. Single men, be careful where you put your hands. You become intimate with who you pray with, but who you pray for, and who you pray to. And even if you're dating, you want to be careful how much prayer and Bible study you do alone. Trust me. You want to be careful with that. Don't just think, well, it's Bible study. I could do it, and we can go in the corner in the dark in the room and pray. You know, things happen. You want to be careful. But you do want to pray for people. And if you're married, I would encourage you to pray for your wife. Lay hands on your wife and pray for her day. Pray for her stress. Pray for her burden. Pray for the work she has just dealing with you. Fellas, amen? I mean, we have issues, amen? I mean, I know my wife has a burden dealing with me. So let's be honest with ourselves. We are work. We are work. God put our wives in our life for a reason. We are work. They are work, but we are work too. Pray for them, that they would understand you. The moods we have, the work we have, the burdens we carry. And by the way, her raising the children. Let me tell you something. I remember when my kids were little, I would go to work, come home. House was a mess. My wife was, hair was all jacked up, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what's going on? And she would say, you do my job for one day. I said, okay. I did my job for one day. I was so happy to go back to work. It is hard. Then I said, I'm going to pray for you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Because you got a harder job than me. You need to pray for your wife. How often do you pray for your wife? Boaz pronounced a blessing on this woman. Because he was a man's man. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, girl. Eat some of the bread and dip your morsel of bread in the wine. Now, this is a smart brother. Bread, and actually your Bible may say vinegar. That's the date, bread and vinegar. Well, you can get bread for, what, $2 a loaf? Bottle of vinegar? You know what I'm saying? It's cheap date right there. Can you imagine going on a date with a girl and giving her bread and vinegar? Breath all fire, breath all stinking. But I'm just telling you what's in the Bible, so I'm sorry. The Bible says she sat beside the reapers and he passed her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied and she had some leftover. And when she arose to glean, Boaz instructed his young woman, his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And also put out some of the bundles for her and leave it for her that she may, for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." A couple of principles we want to see here. Number one, they weren't alone. I talk to couples all the time, young couples, married and single, but especially the single ones. I had a couple come up to me recently. He says, "We're in college. We're both virgins, praise God." And they said, "We want to keep it that way. Can you give us some advice?" I said, "Well, number one, whatever you've been doing so far, keep doing that. But go out with groups of people. Don't be alone." Let me tell you something. If you're alone, stuff happens. But, of course, if you want to be alone in a public place. Matter of fact, one of the things they do is they go hang out at the library at their school. He said, that's what we have to do. We can't even, and that's like, and I said, then that's a very wise decision. Because you being alone and stumbling sexually, if you're single, well, if you're married as well, too, with somebody else that you shouldn't be with, ruin your life. It has a potential to ruin your life. Boaz and Ruth weren't alone, but look what he does. He says to his guys, all the stuff that you harvested, the piles of wheat and the piles of grain, I want you to let her, some of that fall purposely for her. And I want you to let her go to, instead of on the ground, picking up a little bit here and there, let her go over into the pile where you've already collected it. Let her collect that. He kept blessing her over and over and over again. What does this tell us? Fellas, you can't bless your wife enough. You want to be happy? Make your wife happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody gonna be happy. And what's interesting about Boaz is that he continues to love her and bless her and encourage her. I had a guy come to me one day and he says, "You know, I wanna have a meeting with you to counsel." I said, "Well, let's try to avoid that. Tell me now what the problem is. Because it's probably not going to take long for me to tell you something that can help. So we don't have to sit down for an hour to think about it." He said, "Well, me and my wife, you know, we're not getting along and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and she just had a baby, you know, and, you know, he wasn't getting his little affection time and blah, blah, blah." And he was telling me this whole story. I said, "Stop. I already got it. You are not being fair to your wife." I said, "Here's what you need to do. You want to change your whole life? Go home to your wife tonight. Tonight, and I'm going to ask you next week when I see you, because I'm going to see him next week or the week after this happened." I said, "I want you to go to your wife, sit her down, and ask her five ways you can make her life better. Just say, what can I do for you? Get out a bucket of water and wash her feet. And when they're clean, kiss them after they're clean. And tell her, ask her, what five things can I do to bless you? And here's what's going to happen. She's going to start crying. She's going to be happy. And all the other stuff you're worrying about that ain't happening for you, it'll come. But you do that first." Next week, I saw him. 7 days later, I saw him. And before I could even ask him what happened, he was doing this. It worked. He was right. How do you know that? Because I'm a knucklehead like you. Every week. He did it. Now, you know what I told him? I said, "Now you owe me a favor." I said, "Now you got to go find one of your friends and tell them that," which he did. And his friend thought he was a genius. Let me tell you something. He wasn't a genius, but neither am I, because someone told me. But anyway, that's what Boaz did. Boaz kept blessing and blessing and blessing. Now, you may be here and your marriage is messed up. It's messed up. Or the fire that you had when you were dating is gone. Your whole romantic program is programmed. It's gone. And your eyes are starting to wander. Your heart's starting to wander. Your mind's starting to wander. Don't let it wander. The devil will destroy your life. I was watching that show, To Catch a Predator, the other day. You ever watch that? They have these pedophiles come to a house and Dateline comes out. And I'm like, those brothers are sick. They need help. Actually, I don't know if there's any help they can get other than put them in jail because they can't stop. But this guy came in, and these guys are 40. One dude was 62 years old. And it's like busted, life ruined. You don't need that hassle. I would encourage you guys, because as the leader of the home, our responsibility is to be the lead lover, is to be the lead servant, is to take charge and say, no, we are going to honor God. So I would encourage you, no matter where your marriage is or your relationship with your spouse, is to take charge and say, you know what, I'm going to serve my wife. I'm not going to let the devil convince me I'm right, she's wrong, I'm better, whatever, and I'm in charge, I'm going to get my way. That is the devil talking to you. You just say, no, I am going to serve my wife, and I'm going to take a match and ignite a flame in my marriage because I'm going to do these things. Now, if you're not married, learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Because this is what Jesus is doing to us. He is constantly out ahead of us, loving us, encouraging us, providing for us to be blessed, bringing people into your life to pray for you, bringing people into your life for you to pray for, maybe allowing some pain to come into your life so you pray to him because you've been straying away. God is constantly wooing us into a relationship with him. And I can't encourage y'all enough to slow your life down and say, okay, God, show me your activity in my life. Maybe I need to improve on my reputation. You know, it would be very interesting for you. It would be very interesting for you to ask people to tell you honestly what they think about you and your walk with God. I just had 25 people take a survey, and it was questions about me, very personal questions about their perspective on all this stuff, 75 questions. And when you do that, and then open-ended questions. And when you do that, you open yourself up to criticism. And it was right, criticize, because I want to know. Why? Because if I know, then I could deal with it. Why don't you go ask some of your friends? Do I look like am I the type of Christian you would want to be like? Ask some of your non-Christian friends. Am I the type of Christian that you would want to be like? Is there something in my life that is contradictory to your concept of someone who follows Jesus? Be honest. Don't walk around in life in a little bubble, thinking that you can hide. Don't walk around in life thinking that God is not trying to woo you to himself constantly, loving you, and that you could just be anonymously a Christian, and you're just going to die and go to heaven, it's going to be okay. Be a person that realizes that God is constantly trying to woo you to him, and he's constantly trying to use you to woo other people to him. And use your relationship with your wife and your spouse and the people you know. Ask yourself, if that is the measure of your relationship with God, what kind of relationship with God do you have? If you're grumpy with people, you're probably grumpy with God. If you're short with people, you're probably short with God. If you spend any time with God at all. And by the way, your relationship with people is an indication of your relationship with God. The reason Cain killed his brother Abel, they were the sons of Adam and Eve, is because Cain had a bad relationship with God, and he couldn't take it out on God, so he took it out on his brother. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and I just want to encourage you to be thinking about your life, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with the people you know, and also your relationship with God. And that you would ask yourself, is my relationship with the people around me reflective of my relationship with God, and is that a good thing? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And I pray that, Lord, we would evaluate our life and that we would be good role models to the people around us. I pray that we would take Boaz's example and serve the people we know, and especially for the husbands to serve their wives. And I pray that you would ignite a flame and passion in their relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, if you need to fill out the petition, please take a few minutes and do that. I mean, the voter registration, but please sign a petition when you go out. We really appreciate it. God bless you.